tuned for Leologos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Leologos Radio with Michael Nevradakis begins now. A beautiful song to start out today's broadcast with Stamatis Kraonaki singing Kokina Yaya here on Leologos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program which bridges the global Greek community and which airs on 15 radio stations across 5 countries, 4 continents, and online. My name is Michael Nevradakis, and on today's program, the Leologos interview series will feature an interview that you will want to stay tuned for with a returning guest on our program who is one of the most prominent figures that we have featured, New York Times best best-selling author and investigative journalist for outlets such as the BBC and The Guardian, Greg Palast. In today's interview, Greg will share with us his analysis on the current economic situation in Greece. He will talk about his investigation into how global hedge funds or vulture funds contributed heavily to Greece's economic collapse. He will also talk about the examples of countries such as Brazil and Argentina as a possible model for Greece to follow, and he will also reveal his latest investigation into how millions of registered voters in the United States, particularly minorities, are being disenfranchised and are having their right to vote stripped away from them. All this and much more is coming up on the Diálogos interview series, and that will be followed by our Commentary of the Week segment, plus a special segment featuring music based on the poetry of Nobel Prize winning poet Odysseas Elitis. Coming up right now, though, here on Diálogos Radio is this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series and our interview with journalist and author Greg Palast. The Diálogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. Joining us today on the Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series is one of our regular and most prominent guests, the New York Times bestselling author and investigative journalist with such outlets as the BBC and The Guardian, Greg Palast. Greg is the author of such books as Vulture's Picnic, Armed Madhouse, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, and The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. Greg, welcome back to our program. We are glad to have you back on, especially after some health challenges that you had been facing recently.
Yep, doing well now that I have, yes, I have new plumbing to my heart, and I'm going to outlive my enemies and starting a series of new investigations.
And to get us started, Greg, Greece at the present time has unemployment that has surpassed 27%, youth unemployment at around 60%, hundreds of thousands of Greeks have migrated abroad, the social state is in shambles, and the government is in the process of selling off key state industries and public lands and utilities. What is your take on the current economic situation in Greece and what has been happening in the country?
Well, it's fascinating because if you read the Western press, the European press, Greece is now a success story. By success, meaning you're paying off your creditors, your stock market has recovered, and the bond market has recovered somewhat. So as far as most of the press is concerned, everything is fine in Greece. The fact that people are unemployed, that the fact that people are still losing their homes and livelihoods doesn't mean much to the press because all that matters is the stock market and your creditors. So I've been investigating the causes of Greece's collapse. It's a crime scene. It's not something that was a matter of Greeks living beyond their means or being lazy, olive pit spewing slackers, as the Germans would have it. In fact, I actually looked it up. The average Greek worker works 400 hours more a year than the average German worker. It's a hardworking nation. In fact, I think Greeks are harder on themselves than even the Germans are. It's a hardworking nation, successful nation. And what happened was is that your economy was stolen from you.
Now, continuing along this narrative that you mentioned of Greece being a so-called success story, after so many years of IMF and Troika involvement in Greece, there's many who still maintain that Greece has no other choice but to continue along this path. Now, you've done a lot of investigating into what entities such as the IMF and the World Bank have done elsewhere in Latin America and in Asia. What has been the impact of IMF involvement and austerity policies in these other regions?
Well, as my fellow economists Paul Krugman and Joe Stiglitz have noted, is that the austerity programs are like medieval bloodletting. You know, if you're sick, they would drain the blood from you. And if you didn't get better, they would say, oh, the problem is that we didn't drain enough blood, and they would bleed you some more. Well, that's how austerity works. Look, it's no one has yet beaten Keynes' formula, which is not that dissimilar from John Locke or Karl Marx, which is that when there's no demand for products, your economy is going to fall apart. And the way you get demand rebuild demand is the opposite of austerity. This is when you need to borrow. This is when you need to go into deficit. This is when you need to devalue your currency so you can once again export. But you are chained like a prison sentence to the Deutschmark, which is called the euro right now, but it's the Deutschmark. And you are forced to accept Germany's currency, which makes Greece, which is an export economy, a tourist economy, overpriced. So the way that your economy is balanced is by reducing wages rather than reducing the value of your currency. And that's disastrous in many ways because it's a death spiral. The fact that money is being sliced out of your gut to pay off bondholders, to me, that is not a sign of health. That is not a sign of recovery. That's a sign of jackals and vultures chewing at the national economic corpse.
We are on the air with best-selling author and investigative journalist Greg Pallast here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series. Greg, the main opposition party, Syriza, is currently leading in the polls in Greece, despite the fact that it did not make any gains in this year's European parliamentary elections compared to its 2012 Greek parliamentary election result. Syriza recently revealed its economic program, which does not mention anything about a departure from the Eurozone or a unilateral stoppage of payments, or even a write-down of Greece's debt. Instead, it calls for a renegotiation of the debt load within the confines of the Eurozone. What is your reaction to such a proposal?
Well, we know which economies have succeeded that ran into these crises when there was an attack by international financiers. You had Argentina, you've had Brazil, you've had Ecuador, and the way that they've recovered is if you have to tell these creditor nations and the IMF, you're not going to pay. What is the reason that they would renegotiate? What fantasy world do you live in if you're going to say, well, we'll stay in the Eurozone, we'll keep paying, but we're begging you to give us a break? I remember speaking with the president of Ecuador, Palacio, many years ago when he went into office and Ecuador was on its back financially. The IMF was dictating the terms of its economy. It was suffering from austerity. And he said he was going to go to try to speak to then President George Bush and the IMF in Washington and explain to them that if you kill us, if our nation dies economically, we can't pay you. Dead people can't pay off a debt. But unfortunately, the idea of using reason and getting sympathy didn't work at all. So his successor, Rafael Correa, who I also spoke with, said something simple. We're not paying. We're not going to pay you serious interest. We're not going to pay vulture funds. We're not going to pay ransom for our own economy. And the result was that Ecuador has grown enormously by saying no. And same with Brazil, which threatened default. And same with Argentina, which did the same thing that Greece should do, which is get rid of the euro. Argentina was tied to the dollar. Right now, they're going through another fight with international financial vultures, and they're holding strong. And their economy has not only recovered, but they roared ahead like a rocket with high employment and huge increases in national wealth and huge increases in salary over the past decade and a half while they were resisting the IMF diktats. So that's the path for Greece. I mean, follow Brazil, follow Argentina, follow Ecuador. They did it. They said, no, you can't beg your way out of this problem.
Now, sticking with what you've just said about Argentina in particular, you've done extensive investigative reporting on the activities of hedge funds, or as you call them, vulture funds, and how they have targeted countries such as Greece or such as those in Latin America or Africa. One individual in particular, Paul Singer, has been at the heart of your investigations and is tied both to Greece and to Argentina. Who is Paul Singer, and what does he have to do with the cases of Greece and Argentina?
Well, if you read my book, Vulture's Picnic, which should be coming out in Greek quite soon, these vulture funds, and I didn't give them the name vulture funds, that's what they call themselves for many years, which is they buy up debts of nations when there's a crisis like Greece, where you can buy up the debts at pennies on the dollar at a fraction of their face value. And then after a deal has been worked out with everyone else, they are the final holdouts. And they demand, whereas, for example, in the case of Greece, you had creditors who accepted a large cut in the principal of the bonds. The bonds were revalued downward. Interest rates were cut. Singer and one of his associates were the holdouts, reportedly the holdouts in Greece. And they not only didn't take a loss on their bonds, they were paid multiples and earned, you know, something in the area of 200-300% profit on their bonds, the Greek government made exceptions and paid them additional money. What they do is that they hold your nation ransom. They're doing the same thing in Argentina, but Argentina has said, president of Argentina, Cristina Fernandez Kirchner, said, I don't pay ransom. I will not pay vultures. And they are simply refusing to pay these creditors. And they're simply not going to pay a ransom. Other nations have fought these vultures. And in fact, their activities, the people that have been attacking Greece, like Paul Singer, the vulture, his activities have been outlawed in, for example, the British Commonwealth, England, Canada, and throughout the British Commonwealth. These are rogue financiers. Their activities are banned and are criminal or quasi-criminal in some parts of the world. And yet these are the people who are dictating to your economics ministers.
And sticking on the topic of Paul Singer and his activities, there's been certain very notable cases, such as the examples of Peru, if I'm not mistaken, and also the Congo, where Paul Singer basically shook these countries down for large amounts of money.
Right. I did a story for BBC television. If you go to my website, gregpalace.com, you can see my reports from the Congo. Paul Singer effectively grabbed the money that was set aside to fight a cholera epidemic in the Republic of Congo. These are not nice guys. Other creditors, the treasuries of the United States and Europe are used to help bail out countries in trouble, whether it's Greece or the Congo or Peru. And after the taxpayers of the U.S. and Europe put up funds to help nations recover, Paul the Vulture Singer and his Vulture Fund friends, and remember, they called themselves vultures until recently. They were proud of it. They swooped down and they say, well, now that you've been given money by Europeans and Americans, now we're going to take your resources. And they have seized oil shipments on the high seas. They've seized metal resources. They're basically quasi-illegal pirates. And in fact, they actually seized a pirate ship. No kidding. One old masted pirate ship they seized from the Argentine Navy, but the Argentina got it back.
Now, for listeners who might not be completely familiar with the whole story, the controversy that has been surrounding Argentina with the decision which came from American courts, which led to what was presented as an Argentine default, how has the Argentine government responded to this court decision and to the continued demands and pressure exerted by Paul Singer?
Well, what's happened is that Singer, I mean, the Argentine government, because it told the IMF to go to hell, and it told its creditors to go to hell back in the year 2001, under the current president's husband, that allowed Argentina time to recover. And in return, while Argentina 15 years ago defaulted on its bonds deliberately, it did say, we will pay back this money eventually, but only when we recover. And in effect, banks were given stock in the economy of Argentina. As the economy grew, they were paid off. So Argentina actually ended up paying the banks $165 billion. And so they were paying, but then Singer said, I don't want what everyone else has, because that would give him only a 300% profit. Instead, he's demanded a 3,000% profit on the old bonds he holds. And he found some crazy 84-year-old judge in the United States to not only order Argentina to pay him, but ordered Argentina to stop paying its creditors, stop paying its other creditors, the banks like United Bank of Switzerland, Citibank, Bank of New York. George Soros was one of the investors who was being paid by Argentina and accepted its terms. So literally, a judge ordered Argentina to stop paying its creditors. And therefore, technically, the nation has gone into default. Yet still, Argentina said, that's too bad. We'd rather be in default than pay ransom to vultures. We'd rather be in default than let our people starve or allow these pirates to seize our economy. And once again, part of the way that they recovered was by getting rid of the U.S. dollar as their currency. And as you know, at the moment, Greece is tied to the German currency, and that's just insane. You know, and people in Greece are so used to having the euro, they're told that the sky will fall if you step out of the euro. Well, the sky has already fallen on Greece. You can't do worse. And if you had your own currency, if you freed yourself from the bondage of German currency, you would be able to begin to restore your economy. And if you paid, then you declare that you will pay your creditors in your own currency. You know, if the return of the drachma was good enough for Plato, I'm sure it's good enough for you today.
We are speaking with investigative journalist and New York Times bestselling author Greg Palast here on the Alagos Radio and the Alagos Interview Series. And Greg, we've seen in recent weeks the re-election of President Rousseff in Brazil and President Morales in Bolivia. We've seen the continued strong popularity of the governments in countries such as Venezuela and Argentina as well, and indeed the economic growth in many of these countries. What are some of the economic policies that these countries have followed which have allowed them to break free from the shackles that were placed on them by the IMF?
Well, for example, in Brazil, President Lula, who is from the Workers' Party, which is a socialist party, threatened a default. He refused the actions of the IMF. He refused to privatize the state banks. He refused to privatize the state oil company. He refused to continue privatizing the state electric and water companies. And as a result, the nation was able to keep its own resources. And when the value of oil went up, the Brazilian oil company, the state oil company, was able to cash in. The other thing that he did was, while he was told to stop running deficits and to, you know, impose austerity, he did the opposite. He created something called the Bolsa Social. What it is basically a payment to all people, so that everyone has a minimum income in Brazil now. So everyone receives a minimum income, so it ended starvation, it ended desperation. And that money going into the hands of the poorest people, because it gets spent, built up the economy enormously. Brazil was growing at 7, 8, 9%. Now there's been a slowdown, a big problem, as the world economy's been in trouble. China, one of Brazil's biggest trading partners, the U.S. as a trading partner, have slowed way down. So that's hurt Brazil. But still, on net, the economy has done incredibly well compared to the rest of the world, and certainly compared to Greece. As a result, this past Sunday, Dilma Rousseff, Lula's successor as president from his party, was reelected. And I believe that one of the reasons why the Brazilian economy slowed down is that she tried to begin a return to some IMF policies of austerity and cutting state pensions. So she decided to compromise a bit with the IMF, and it was disastrous for Brazil. The IMF is basically a society of poisoners. They require nations to sign effectively economic suicide pacts. Every nation which has followed the IMF World Bank diktats has found itself drowning with its economies in collapse. Those who have ignored the IMF and World Bank and gone in the opposite direction are thriving. And it's, you know, at what point do you say bleeding the patient is not good medicine? It isn't. We see that. We can actually measure it now. It's not even a question.
Greg, what do you believe the Greek people should do to help bring about this change that you're talking about? And do you believe that there are any political forces in Greece which can accomplish this?
Well, you know, I can't tell you who your best politicians are. I can tell you what they must do. First of all, you have to get rid of this fear of what would happen if you left the euro. The euro has been poisonous for Greece. My God, how much more punishment are you ready to accept to be in Germany's currency? It's completely crazy. I'm an economist by training. In fact, and I knew Robert Mundell, the man who invented the euro. And he was a very, very right-wing Thatcherite. He was a advisor to Ronald Reagan. He was the man who created the so-called supply-side economics fantasy that if you cut taxes on the rich, your economy will grow. It all turned out to be nonsense. The euro is part of his nonsensical supply-side Thatcherite, Reaganite economics. The euro is just one aspect of it. It's a straitjacket which was meant to force nations who are locked to the euro, because you give up your fiscal policy, you give up your ability to change interest rates, you give up your ability to change the money supply, you give up your ability to change your exchange rates with other nations. For Greece to give up the power over its economic destiny is insane. And those who leave the euro, it doesn't mean you won't be able to trade with Europe, that you won't have tourists in Europe. Now, in a way, you've gotten lucky as Turkey has decided to blow itself up with its idiotic religious president. But, you know, Turkey was not in the euro, and Turkey was growing and stealing all of your tourism business. I think that at a certain point, you have to give up the fantasy that the euro is some kind of advantage. That's got to go. As long as you're tied to the euro, you don't stand a chance of full recovery.
We are on the air with investigative journalist and best-selling author Greg Palast here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series. And Greg, earlier this week, you revealed a major breaking story about the purge of up to 3.5 million voters in the United States from the voter rolls. Now, Greg, there are many in Greece who believe that corruption, economic mismanagement, political fraud, and electoral manipulation only happen in Greece and not in a supposedly advanced and civilized Western world. What does your investigation say about the state of democratic governance in the United States and indeed in the West?
Unfortunately, in America, there is a commitment of the, especially the Republican Party. And I'm not partisan. I don't care which, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. But right now, I'm breaking a story in the United States that 3.5 million voters are threatened with the loss of their vote in Republican-controlled states, especially in the South. And especially at risk are African Americans, Asian Americans, and Hispanic citizens in the U.S. We are still, 60 years after Martin Luther King led the civil rights movement and the voting rights movement in America, we are still struggling with allowing Black people to vote. And always impediments are put in the way. And my new story is that 3 million people have been accused of voting in two different states in America. No one's actually shown anyone voting in two different states, but 3 million people have been accused of the crime of voting twice, any evidence, and they are subject to losing their vote. But it is not just anyone. It's the ethnic minorities in America, and they tend to vote Democratic. So it's a way for the Republican Party to steal elections that are next week for the United States Senate and 2 years for the United States presidency. We have very low turnout in America for votes because so many people are blocked from voting.
On Tuesday, October 28th, Greece celebrated Ochi Day, the commemoration of the date on which, in 1940, Greece said no to the demand of the Axis powers to pass their troops through Greece unimpeded and to occupy strategic posts within the country. In recent years, though, the word no seems to have been replaced in Greece by the word yes, at least in terms of the country's politicians. While the Greek population seems to be gripped by the complacency and fear that you've been talking about, what is your message to Greece and to the Greek people in the light of this anniversary?
The anniversary also meant the time when Greece had to go through the struggle of resistance. And the struggle of resistance, when if you say no to the euro, no to the Troika's crazy austerity program, which is quite destructive. So you'll have to give up your addiction to the voluntary destruction to the difficulty of resistance. And believe me, in the case of Brazil, in the case of Argentina, it was 2 years of hardship after telling the IMF and the banks, no, you know, there is some hardship. But then once again, your economy will be restored with your own currency and you will still own your own properties. One thing that Argentina, by the way, had to do, it's the water company of Buenos Aires was sold to Enron. The oil company was sold to the Spanish, and Argentina had to renationalize, seize these properties back for the public. So it's going to be a difficult road, but you know, I don't think many Greeks regret saying no to the Germans, no matter how difficult it was for a couple of years.
Greg, we would like to take this opportunity to not only remind our listeners that Dialogos Radio's fall fundraiser is in progress, but that listeners have the option of receiving your recent investigative DVD, Vultures and Vote Rustlers, in exchange for their support of our program. What can our listeners expect to see in this DVD, and why do you believe that listeners should support Dialogos Radio?
Well, if you don't support your radio station, you're stuck with the news and nonsense that they give you. You're stuck with the fairy tales of the financial occupiers of Greece. This is your station. You may have very little in your pocket, but if you don't have your own voice, which has not been taken hostage by outside financial interests. This is your chance. And plus, in the DVD, what you do get is a lot of you get real old-fashioned investigative reporting from where I investigate the vultures, and you go from the Congo. You get the real story of Liberia, by the way, which is in the news because of Ebola. So you get the real story of the Congo. You get Liberia. And you get how the vultures who have eaten Greece alive actually took more money from the U.S. Treasury in an attack upon the auto industry in America and an attack upon the city of Detroit. The vulture financiers are not just attacking nations like Greece. They're attacking the United States itself. And that's a story that you will get in the DVD.
Well, Greg, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today here on the Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos Interview Series. And thank you very much as well for your support of our program. It is very much appreciated.
You're very welcome. Good luck.
Do you enjoy independent, non-commercial, non-profit radio programming which brings you the best in Greek music and culture, plus exclusive and hard-hitting interviews you won't hear anywhere else? If so, then Diálogos Radio needs your support. Contribute to our fundraiser and help us to continue bringing you more of the programming you love. And in return for your contribution, check out our special gifts, including DVDs, music, books, and much more, available in return for your donation. Visit our website, dialogosmedia.org, to learn more. Support a nonprofit and independent Greek voice. Support Diálogos Radio today.
Attention iTunes users, Diálogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to Diálogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. That was this week's edition of the Diálogos Interview Series here on Diálogos Radio, where we just wrapped up our interview with best-selling author and investigative journalist for the BBC and The Guardian, Greg Pallast. As a reminder, the podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, where you can also find our on-demand programming, links to our articles and published work, and listen to our online radio station, Diálogos Radio 24/7. Our podcasts are also available in the official Diálogos Radio app for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, and Google Chrome, and in iTunes, TuneIn.com, the Windows Marketplace, and the Nobex Radio, WeCast, and Player FM apps. Coming up is some great Greek music here on the Diálogos Radio, and after that, stay tuned for our commentary of the week and our special segment with songs based on the poetry of Odysseas Elitis.
Σκότωσε τα όνειρα πες. Ποιος έκοψε τόσες στιγμές, τις μικρές ανθισμένες χαρές. Δείξε μου ποιος. Ποιος χρόνος περνώντας κι αυτός, με ένα δρεπάνι σκυφτός, πως θέρισε όλο το φως. Αχ, ένα φίλι. Η πόλη οδηγώντας αργά, τα σπίτια μπαλκόνια γυρτά, ζωές που θα κρύβουν κι αυτά. Πώς έγινε δες, πώς στένεψαν τόσο οι οροφές, πώς γίναν φωτιά οι καρδιές, ποιος σκότωσε τα όνειρα δες. Και τα όνειρα γίνονται πάλι. Θέλω ένα φιλί, μόνο ένα φιλί. Η ζωή δανεική και μικρή, μα στα χείλη σου μοιάζει μεγάλη, θέλω ένα φιλί, μόνο ένα φιλί. Σε βρίσκω στο πλήθος ξανά, στους δρόμους που η πόλη σχολά, απρόβλεπτη που είναι η ομορφιά. Πάλι γελάς, αμήχανα λίγο κοιτάς. Τι κοιτάς, αγκαλιά να με πάρεις δες. Κανείς δεν μας φόβωσε μας, ένα φιλί και τα όνειρα γίνονται πάλι. Θέλω ένα φιλί, μόνο ένα φιλί. Η ζωή δανεική και μικρή, μα στα χείλη σου μοιάζει μεγάλη. Θέλω ένα φιλί, ένα φιλί, μόνο ένα φιλί. Πάλι θέλω ένα φιλί, ένα φιλί, μόνο ένα φιλί. Η ζωή δανεική και μικρή, μα στα χείλη σου μοιάζει μεγάλη. Θέλω ένα φιλί, ένα φιλί.
Take the Dialogos Radio on the go with you with the new Dialogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store.
Two great Greek songs in that set of music which we just wrapped up here on the Dialogos Radio with Kostas Makedonas singing Parame, and prior to that Haris Alexiou with Ena Phili. Coming up now here on the Dialogos Radio is our commentary of the week.
The Dialogos Radio's commentary of the week. Each week, Michael Nevradakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next, here on The Dialogos Radio.
A few days ago, the results of the stress tests of European banking institutions were announced, and if you happened to be watching the major television stations in Greece or happened to be reading the major newspapers, you would have come away with the impression that Greece's four remaining banking institutions all passed these so-called stress tests with flying colors. News reports on the major private television stations, all of which are pro-government, and on the supposedly public broadcaster Net 8, cheerfully repeated the government's propaganda that all of Greece's banks are in sound financial shape and that they all passed the stress tests without an issue. The problem is that three of Greece's four banks, as well as three Cypriot banks, did not pass the stress tests and were among the 23 European banks in total which did not pass. These banks include the National Bank of Greece, Eurobank, and the Bank of Piraeus. The only way one could find this out in Greece, however, was by seeking out independent, foreign, or online news sources, as the mainstream media completely censored this story. This is not the first example of media propaganda and censorship in Greece's media today, nor is it the first example of outright lies on the part of the Greek government, which was once again publicly patting itself on the back for its supposed economic success story. A success story which has seen the poverty rate increase by over 98%, average salaries decline by almost 40%, pensions reduced by 45%, unemployment increased by over 190%, a 25% reduction in GDP, an increase of over 35% in Greece's national debt, a 30% decline in the number of businesses operating, and over 5,000 suicides. If you define success as completely leveling a national economy, then yes, Greece is indeed a success story. As for the banks, these same banks that failed the stress tests are the ones which have received over 212 billion, that's billion with a B, euros of taxpayer money in order to be recapitalized between 2008 and 2013. As if that was not enough, however, these banks have also received an additional 10 billion euros in tax breaks during this same period. These are the banks which we are told are responsible and serious, but which in reality have dried up lending to small businesses and to households, and which have contributed to the foreclosures of properties belonging to 687,427 households in Greece just in the first three quarters of this year. In fact, earlier this year, the president of Greece's Alpha Bank spoke out against the Greek government's withdrawal, after public pressure, of a 25 euro entry fee for patients at Greece's public hospitals. Greg Pallast, in today's interview, spoke about bloodsuckers, vultures, and jackals, which attack a national economy. It is clear that in addition to the jackals, such as the International Vulture Funds, banks, financial institutions, and the IMF, that the enemy in Greece also lies within, and the average Greek citizen has paid dearly to keep this enemy alive because, just as in the United States and elsewhere, we are told that these banks are too big to fail. Many in Greece have hopes that Syriza, the supposedly leftist main opposition party which is currently leading in the polls, will lead Greece out of the economic morass that it is in, and that it will implement policies which will help the millions of Greek citizens who have suffered during this crisis as a result of the austerity measures which have been enforced. And yet, during Syriza's recent party conference, Syriza's Central Committee rejected proposals which called for the renationalization and public control of Greece's banks, the reversal of the privatizations which have taken place, and the abolition of Greece's privatization fund, the renationalization of formerly public utilities and entities of strategic importance, and the implementation of a new progressive tax code which would primarily primarily benefit the poorest classes of Greek society. I repeat that these proposals were rejected by Syriza, the oh-so-leftist opposition party in Greece, which in its recent official economic proposals also calls for Greece to remain in the eurozone and rejects a unilateral stoppage of payments of Greece's debt. With all due respect to our very gracious guests from recent weeks, Yorgos Katrugalos and Rania Andonopoulos, it should be clear from Syriza's proposals and also from the facts presented by investigative journalist Greg Pallast that there is no such thing as renegotiation or an easing of terms when international banksters and vulture funds are concerned. There is no such thing as economic recovery when your currency, your interest rates, your economic policy, your exchange rates are all controlled by Germany. And there is surely no hope of recovery when your supposedly radical opposition party wishes to maintain the shackles which Greece has been locked into for the past 5 years of crisis. One has to wonder what else needs to happen and how many more indignities Greece and its people need to suffer for people to understand that the way out of the crisis is by saying the same word which Greece had the courage to say 74 years ago to the Axis powers. No.
The long and corrupt history of lawlessness, patronage, and censorship in the Greek media is revealed in our new series of investigative articles. Visit dialogosmedia.org today to read our investigative series and to learn more about the long-standing state of corruption and censorship in Greece's media, as well as the worsening conditions for freedom of speech and the press. Head on over to dialogosmedia.org today to read our articles and to get more of the hard-hitting journalism you've come to expect from Dialogos Media.
That was the commentary of the week here on the Dialogos Radio, and coming up next is our special musical segment featuring music that is based on poetry written by one of Greece's most prominent and historically significant poets, Odysseas Elitis. Odysseas Elitis, who was born on November 2nd, 1911 as Odysseas Adepoudelis, and who won the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1979, wrote hundreds of poems which touched the hearts, the minds, and the souls of Greek people, as well as millions of other readers around the world, as his poems were translated into dozens of languages. Many of his poems were also used as the basis for song lyrics, songs composed by such major and prominent composers as Mikis Theodorakis, and which often served as anthems against injustice and in favor of resistance. We will hear some of this music now as part of our special musical segment here on the Dialogos Radio.
Δικαιοσύνη συγεννόητε και μυρσύνη εσύ δοξαστική. Μη παρακαλώ σας μη
πιο λευκά Τα πικρά μου χέρια με τον κεραυνό θα γυρίζω πίσω απ' τον καιρό. Τους παλιούς μου φίλους καλώ.
Γεια σας ρε μα, κρατείες. Γεια σας φίλια και γεια σας αγκαλές. Γεια σας οι καβίγοι ξανεδιαλοί. Γεια σας οι όργοι οι παντοτινοί.
Follow Dialogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia.
Two beautiful and timeless Greek songs here on the Dialogos Radio as part of our special segment dedicated to music based on the poetry of one of Greece's great poets, Odysseas Elitis. We heard Maria Faranduri just now with her performance of Tou Mikrou Voria, and we began with Grigoris Bithikotsis with Tis Dikaiosynis I Ennoite. Today's broadcast of the Dialogos Radio is just about ready to come to a close, but we will be back again next week, same time, same place, with an interview with an up-and-coming Greek band, which recently performed at the South by Southwest Music Festival in Austin, Texas, and which recently completed tours to North America and to Europe, Imam Bayeldi. We will hear from members of the band about their latest album, their impressions from their recent tours, and about the projects that the band is currently working on. Plus, we will also hear some music from the band's most recent album as well, an album which we are also making available as one of our gifts for listeners who make a contribution as part of our ongoing fall fundraiser. More details about this fundraiser are available on our website, dialogosmedia.org. We will close out today's program with one final song, once again based on poetry by Odysseas Elitis, Tis Agapis Aimata, performed live by Fotini Dara. Thank you once again for joining us this week here on the Dialogos Radio, and have a wonderful weekend.
Αγάπησες.